All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we continue here in 2 Thessalonians 3, here beginning verse 7, after the command to separate from those unruly. Verses 7 through 8 here, Team Paul sets forth themselves as example to the contrary. Again, reading verse 7, we've already looked at the Greek. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we do not act in an undisciplined manner among you. All right, analysis of verse 7. 1. Having passed a judgment of separation on those leading an unruly life, verse 6, Paul now appeals to the evangelists as examples for a, quote, proper life, end quote, expected from positive volition otherwise. 2, that leadership has set an example of proper application gives the congregation further cause and ammunition in their unpleasant duty of applying separation. Now, application of doctrine is not always fun. Nobody said it would be. And obviously, applying separation is not always pleasant. In fact, the reason for applying separation demands an unpleasant circumstance to begin with. That is maladjustment in regards to Bible doctrine. But as a ammunition for those who are adjusted to fulfill his command for separation, Paul provides himself and his team as spiritual leaders, as examples for reinforcement and encouragement for them in this respect. 3, they can apply separation, having Team Paul's example, to defend both the actions of separating as well as the impropriety of the recalcitrant. They provide ammunition of one who takes doctrine seriously, and in turn they are in stark contrast to those who are otherwise idle, refuse gainful employment, and disobedience to doctrine. For there need not be any hesitancy for applying separation, as they have spiritual leaders that, quote, practice what they preach, end quote. To be an authority, to be the head or leader of something, and not conform in regards to the rules, guidelines, expectations of his subordinates in that regards, obviously provides a leader that is lacking and is not really able to instill proper motivation in regards to others around them of attaining to the very goals that they themselves say they need to meet. To tell somebody that they're wrong, for example, lying all the time, and you lie all the time, what kind of example is that? Parents to children, obviously, and otherwise. To avoid hypocrisy. To be double-tongued, fork-tongued, as we might have said in the old days. To speak one thing and do another is not the proper description that you should have in regards to your reputation as a leader. Team Paul is not of that ilk. Adjusted communicators, spiritual leaders, otherwise, take doctrine just as serious as they demand others to take it, and they apply it in that regards. And that Team Paul obviously has stepped up to the plate, an example of what it really means to work and support themselves in regards to this new local church. By example, they evidence that they take the doctrine serious. And if your commander is willing to get out in front of the troops and lead them into battle, then what excuse truly do the troops have not to follow? So, 5, since the long-standing problem at Thessalonica was unwilling to disappear, and this is not just something new that's cropped up, we brought that out. Paul puts himself and his associates forward as examples to counter any negative feedback. He is not here trying to pat himself on the back, saying, look what we did. No, he is here to address a serious issue, and he now takes himself, and why not, as the spiritual head, he's the target, generally, of accusations and maligning and things of this nature in regards to doctrine. And he now sets forth himself as an example in regards to proper application and to address this problem at its highest level, to give population all the ammunition they need and could expect in regards to someone telling them to separate and that this is wrong. So, since the long-standing problem in Thessalonica was unwilling to disappear, Paul puts himself and his associates forward as examples to counter any negative feedback. Me, like, hammering on separation over 15 years, and I don't apply it. You know, like, how serious is that going to be taken? Well, it may not be taken seriously otherwise, but if you are applying it, it holds those not taking it seriously culpable at a whole different level. 6, as James makes clear in his epistle, actions speak louder than words. And the very applications of Team Paul now finds that force to further motivate positive volition. To be a doer, not just a sayer. James, that is one of the issues he brought out. The evidence of one's positive volition, phase 2, is their application of doctrine, in representation of the fact that they claim to be Christians to begin with. And your actions obviously can be a lot more forceful than simply the words that one espouses. James 1:22-25, but prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Give doctrine lip service. Show up for Bible class, but when it comes to the doctrine itself and willingness to apply it, that's void. See. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. 1, you come to Bible class, the doctrine is presented to you, it gives you an accurate reflection of what you are and how you appear before God spiritually. And for those who are simply hearers and not doers of Bible doctrine, they come to Bible class, they look at themselves in a spiritual light, but then they walk out, they immediately just put it aside, and they don't care in spite of all the zits and everything else and messed upness in their appearance that they are, that they look that way. And they go on in life not applying doctrine. Verse 25, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, that's Bible doctrine, the law of liberty, the freedom from the STA. See, we have the ability and freedom from human viewpoint. Bible doctrine gives us maximum liberty, maximum freedom under the umbrella of righteousness, and abides by it. That takes up residence, same terminology that John likes to use in his writings for fellowship, for being in fellowship. Not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. You want God to grease your skids in regards to your Christian life, then you got to start applying the doctrine not just leaving it in the pantry to look at, or your bookcase. Look at all the books I got. Well, how many of them have you read? I just like the boundaries on them, the binding, you know, the covers. Chapter 2, verse 14. What use is it, my brothers, if a man says he has faith, that's active faith, he claims to be positive, but he has no works, no application, can that faith deliver him? He's dealing with phase 2 faith, not phase 1. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm, be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? You got the means to apply doctrine in regards to here as an example, an application to helping someone out under living grace. And you don't make the application. You know, one person, they can tell you how positive they are, but when it comes down to nitty gritty and their feet put to the fire to make the application, you know, that will prove what they are really. Even so, if it has no works, it's dead, being faith, being by itself. Operational death, obviously, temporal death goes along with that. So someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You say you believe Bible doctrine, well, at what level do you apply it? And then I'll agree with you, yeah, you believe that. You know, not that you would necessarily disagree, but someone may say they believe this, 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 and this, and they continually disregard it, avoid it. You know. It does put a question mark in regards to people's proclamations, see, what they declare to be. Verse 7 here in Thessalonians begins the unfolding to specifically what the unruly life was at Thessalonica. In verse 6, if you're just reading this letter, sentence by sentence, paragraph by paragraph, you get at verse 6, and at that point in time, unruly life, well, what, you know, okay, that's fine. Is there anything specific here? And now the specifics in regards to that which exists at Thessalonica starts to unfold. And the way Paul unfolds it and reveals it is through, first and foremost, providing themselves as examples of what is right. So 8, the opening for you yourselves know, which is gar autos oida in the Greek, begins the explanations why the maladjusted are maladjusted, and hence the need for separation. Why they are maladjusted is because they are not emulating, following the example that their spiritual leader has otherwise set in his own priority of life. So 9, just because the Thessalonians had first-hand knowledge concerning their spiritual leaders based on experience. To be the model, to do and apply the doctrine carries much more weight than simply just stating it in words. And the adjusted local church has those types of spiritual leaders, those who model the doctrine themselves. And hence this provides first-hand experience, first-hand knowledge, excuse me, based on what they physically see and have experienced in regards to those around them. You know, obviously, kind of blows a hole in the doctrine that is brought out, you know, if people can go around and say, well, a pastor doesn't do it. Pastor doesn't apply in that area. You know, the child to the parent, oh, you don't do this, you know, and you see that. How come you don't do it? Well, as a pastor to sheep, you can't be like a parent to a child, tell them to shut up and beat their butts anyway, you know. No, there is a place to be an example, a proper example. Doesn't mean that people are perfect, but they will take the doctrine across the board and implement it in their own lives. And that gives people around you that who know you in association with you a physical example of one applying doctrine. All right, so Tim, Paul has used the perfect tense form here of know, oida, perfect, action in the past with existing results, means that they know it for certain. Numerous times, we saw in 1 Thessalonians 1, 5, chapter 2, verses 1, 2, 5, and 11, chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, chapter 5, verse 2, and 5, chapter, I've repeated, 5, 2. And then also, we've also seen in 2 Thessalonians 2, 6, in all cases, to highlight something of which there is no doubt or excuse. The example here already in 2 Thessalonians, the doctrine of God the Holy Spirit and His restraining ministry. That had been taught. They know this for sure. See. So what they know here is without, again, any uncertainty, without doubt. So 11, the doctrine they were taught without question. In our context was, quote, how you ought to follow our example, end quote. 12 is the doctrine they gapped and practiced as a positive local church. That was brought out in the first epistle, 1 Thessalonians 1, 5b. And 6, following, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, how they proved it was through their own applications of being examples. And verse 6, you also became imitators of us and of the Lord. It's really fairly natural. Children grow up in life and they learn things through imitation. Through seeing parents, other things going on around them. And it's not that much different in regards to the spiritual world. And to start a new local church, new believers are obviously going to have their eyes on their spiritual leaders and see how they act in regards to doctrine, what they take as priorities, what they take, and model themselves after in regards to doctrine. And then they will turn around and they will emulate or imitate. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word of much tribulation with joy of the Holy Spirit. In their particular case, that particular imitation is they embraced Bible doctrine in spite of severe persecution going on around, just like their spiritual leaders endured. See. Team Paul put up with all this pressure. It didn't stop them. And that obviously helped motivate them. And they saw that and said, yeah, I'm going to have guts too spiritually. Obviously, that all comes from their positive volition. So it's a natural thing. And in that situation, then they became models and examples to others. Verse 8, for the word of the Lord, or verse 7, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. See? So, to follow the example of their spiritual heads, it was a doctrine that they understood, and they gapped it and practiced it as an adjusted local church. 13, the literal wording is how you ought to imitate us. Post die mimetomai. 14, it was made clear to these new saints, from the inception of as a local church, that they were to follow the example of their spiritual leaders and their applications, priorities, and behaviors. The notion of imitating or following the pattern of life of other adjusted believers is seen throughout the New Testament. First Thessalonians that we saw there, 2:14, also, for you brothers became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea in regards to enduring under persecution and suffering. For you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews. They had their antagonizers around them of their own racial persuasion, Gentile. 1 Corinthians 4:16. Paul states to the believers at Corinth, I exhort you, therefore, be imitators of me. First Corinthians. Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. So obviously, the pattern that Paul or any spiritual head adheres to in regards to their own life is our Lord and Savior Himself. And hence why they become examples and models. Philippians 3:17. Brothers, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. That's just the way doctrine flows in regards to tradition being handed down throughout the centuries. The doctrine is passed on itself and its understanding, and then the examples and application are also passed on, and new believers pick up and emulate that in regards to their own persons, and they too become examples. Chapter 4, verse 9, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Hebrews 6:12. Verse 11, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, the full assurance of Bible doctrine and what it has to offer, that you may not be sluggish, loss of zeal, lazy, idle. The very sense of what we're dealing with in Thessalonians. But imitators of those who through faith and patience, that's inhale faith and exhale faith, inherit the promises, to persevere in regards to doctrine, to handle the test set before you. Doesn't mean that even your spiritual leaders are going to be perfect, but it's obvious in their lives that they never lose sight of Bible doctrine and the person of Christ as their complete focus and their pursuit. And they persevere. They don't cave in. And then also Hebrews 13:7. Remember those who led you, those who were authorities, spiritual leaders, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Imitate their determination and choice to put doctrine first in their lives. 16 believers are to take as a model the lives of those that are modeling their own lives after the Lord. Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. You can't imitate God if, first and foremost, you don't embrace His thinking. Duh. You reject the divine viewpoint, you can't imitate God. You don't have the wherewithal mentally to do so. You're off on some other course. You are His children. You need to act like it. See, is the idea. And how you act like it is imitate your father. Imitate your parent. See, as you would expect from a childhood, a just and positive parent. So instead of trying to imitate the Britneys of this world, Spears, if anybody's named Britney, I apologize. You know, or other celebrities, sports celebrities, or whatever. Once you look towards those who are positive in doctrine, emulate their perseverance, dedication, commitment to Bible doctrine as they seek to imitate God, as that should be your ultimate goal, obviously, to in your life. I know how things around you, the world, is appealing because we are flesh. It has a natural appeal. And you see people in their successes in life, how in some cases they maybe are way better off financially, economically, environmentally, or whatever. Just understand one thing. Apart from Bible doctrine, that's their glory. Their glory is in time. Before you cry over Ohio losing, remember, it's only glory in time. See? For all of them. In spite of their fundy gyrations and genuflecting that you'll see on the field anyway. As all these people get together and bow their heads and thank God for letting them live through another game. Well, the pagans do the same thing. Thank you, Zeus. Or whatever god they do it to. The effect of Team Paul as examples is then set forth in the causative clause, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you. Your term because denotes an effect, see. An effect in regards to the gravity or the force that you can find in being a model, a right model of doctrine. So 18, this relates to Team Paul as models in application of Bible doctrine and what positive volition, quote, ought to follow in example, end quote. 19, the verb act in an undisciplined manner, autokteo, is cognated the adverb unruly life in verse 6. So 20, the negative did not, ooh, sets Team Paul in contrast to the actions of those refusing to work. What these maladjusted were doing, Team Paul is free of any guilt. They are doing something totally different. They are doing the opposite, if you will. So it sets them in contrast to the offenders of doctrine 21, what the offenders reject doctrinally via non-application, Paul rejects their alternate position in application. Maybe that's not a way that we often think about our applications. But when we apply Bible doctrine, we contrast ourselves to all the people who are not willing to apply Bible doctrine. And what issue and objection they may have to us in our very application, we object back. In a silent but very, very real way. See. So people can give you their excuses. You keep hanging in there, as Paul will exhort this church. You keep doing what's right. You keep doing what's good. And your very example objects before God their maladjustment, their disobedience. See. That is the true force of cause and effect of being an example to others, the right kind of example. And then to emulate that. So 22, positive volition is to set the example in application of Bible doctrine. And by so doing, guess what? They begin the separation process in principle. When you're applying doctrine, they're not. You've already initiated a level of separation. You're not willing to line yourself up with them. And hence, you have given a difference, a contrast, see. And a separation ensues. To be in Bible class, separate yourself from those who are not in Bible class. See. You got to think about this concept of separation. It goes on all over the place. And it's not to be lost upon the discerning believer. And hence, having a further appreciation of why God demands in certain instances that we do separate, such as from certain STA types of believers. So, positive volition is to set the example in application of Bible doctrine. And by so doing, they begin the separation process in principle. 23, for those persistent in their rejection of Bible doctrine, in spite of having examples before them otherwise, when separation is the call, then it's just following a course already begun. What's the big deal? You're not lining up with what they're engaged in. You've already separated yourself in principle through your application. Well, what's the big deal about separating yourself socially? See? You've already started the course. Now follow through. Sometimes that is often a problem that people have in regards to life is following through. You know, being a good closer. It's one thing in regards to sales and things of that nature. You got to be able to close the deal. A lot of people can get people interested in the deal and lead along, but then you got to close them, see? So to finish what you start, things of this nature are important. You start a separation and application. Now separate in regards to the fullness as demanded by doctrine in regards to these types. So 24, the tradition that the Thessalonians had received was given both through oral and written instruction, and in the example of the apostolic team. So again, not to be lost upon us, the tradition of doctrine handed down comes through both word of mouth and through application itself. 25, the duty upon the individual members of the church is to imitate their example, not merely by word, but in application. I can almost hear some chuckles in people's brain computers. What follow you as an example? If I get the prize, I guarantee you won't be chuckling then. You'll be doing bat flips if you hung in there. You won't be chuckling otherwise. And not saying that I will finish my course, but I know I'm on my course. Every doctrine that I've taught you, there is not a pillar of it that is inconsistent or weak at all. We are doing it right. These are things, you know, coming out of the funny world, you know, it's natural. You sit back there and you think, well, you know, maybe the Baptists are right. Well, if they are, then we should be Baptists. If somebody's right, then that's what we need to line up with. Well, you start picking their doctrines apart and looking at them and evaluating them, then you see, well, they're really not as right as what they come off to be. Denominationalism in and of itself is not right. For a local church to be put under the umbrella of a council or board outside the church and under that government is not right. Churches are to be independent, autonomous, having one authority. So, anyway. 26, on top of the considerable spiritual work, the apostles work hard for their own material support. The example here, obviously, is in light of the idleness or non-willingness to provide gainful employment of certain types and financial independence in regards to this local church. 27, this further clarifies the specific unruly life in view as made clear in verse 8. And I'm just going to go ahead and let us out a little early today on this one. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to enlighten us to these things. In Jesus' name, amen.